The prophet was certainly right when he wrote these words. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The New American Standard reads it, he was despised and forsaken of men. But the Hebrew word for forsaken and rejected means abandoned. It means, I don't want you, I leave you, I get away from you. It means get away from, staying away from. It means the last. When you're choosing people, the last, the least. If you've ever been chosen for something, you know, where people are choosing for a team or this, and say, you know, well, he's the least. He said, no, we don't want him. Choose him first, then him. And how about being the last one chosen? The last, the least. He was forsaken, that is, rejected. Nobody knew rejection. You know, the fundamental need of human beings is acceptance and love and inclusion. To be rejected is a very difficult thing. To live with rejection is a difficult thing. And Jesus lived with rejection even before he was born. His parents, his mother, great with child, on the way to the feast, and there's no room at the inn. We don't have any place for you. There's no place here. So where does she put her child? Where does she have her child? In a barn? Where does she wrap her child and put him in a feeding trough where the animals eat? Jesus knew rejection even before he was born, from the very start. He was born then in that manger and put in the manger. Right after that, his country was being swarmed over by the federales, you might say, the federal police, because Herod had declared, I want to find who this person is that's king of the Jews. I want every child 2 years old and under killed. I don't want to take any chances. And so where did he go? We got to get out of here. His parents took him as a little baby down to Egypt, where they remained for a long time. And then when they brought him back, where did they bring him? Back to Galilee. Not to Jerusalem, up to Galilee. Well, what comes out of Galilee? You know, Galileans were the kind of the Hickville. That's Hicksville. All the powerful people and the educated and the people that ran the country were in Jerusalem. Galilee wasn't considered great. And so, as one of the Pharisees said, can anything good come from Galilee? So they thought that's where he was born, but he wasn't. He was born in Bethlehem. He knew rejection. A man of sorrows and acquainted with, the King James says grief, the New American Standard says grief, but the Hebrew word means sickness. He was acquainted with sickness. Perhaps Jesus Christ had a penchant, had a desire, had a relationship, a feeling for people like lepers. When the lepers came up to him, Master, he said, you know, go show yourselves to the priest. There were 10 of them. As they were going, they were healed. Jesus would heal leprosy because he knew what it was. You know, when you're a leper, you're not very welcome in people's house. When you're a leper, people don't want to come and throw their arms around you. When you're a leper, you're not included. You're the last. You're the least. Get away from us. Stay away from us. We want to abandon you. A leper knows rejection. And Jesus could relate to them. He was rejected. His message was rejected. His person was rejected. We're not born out of wedlock, they said, when they wanted to put him down. We're not born out of wedlock. His life was rejected on the cross, come on down, that we would believe you. You're, who are you? You know, we will accept you. And even after his, even after he was dead and buried and raised from the dead, they rejected the idea that he was ever resurrected. People reject him. He knew he was a man who was rejected of men. And his disciples that he made, they were rejected. They went out with his message and they were rejected. They were killed. They were destroyed. And Jesus knew that his Father was rejected. He said, Father, they don't know you. The world does not know you. I've come to reveal you. They don't know who you are. They rejected the Father. So here's a man, from the time he was born all the way up through, experienced a set of rejections. A man who was rejected of people, abandoned. I wonder how he dealt with that. Because dealing with that is a major factor, a major mental and psychological factor in life. And how you deal with it is a major psychological factor to you. I'm sure he said this because, you know, he said these words. So I'm sure he carried this thought in his mind. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. For their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. So he knew. Woe to you if everybody... He must have said that to himself many times. Well, they reject me. They don't want me. They're angry with me. His message was angry. They were angry with his message. They were angry with him. He must have also comforted himself with this messianic prophecy, which was in the book of Psalms. You know, Psalms, you think of it just, it's very, very nice, but there are so many prophecies in the book of Psalms. It's a highly prophetic book. So here was one prophesying for the Messiah in the book of Psalms 118, dropping down to verse 22 and 23. He says, "The stone which the builders rejected. The Hebrew word here, it's a little different from the Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, the word means, you know, to abandon, be abandoned, get away from us. The word here means to refuse it, reject it. The stone which the builders rejected. All right, I want to see here, which stone here? You pick up a stone, no, not that one. Pick up a stone, oh, not that one. Get this one out of there. We don't want that one. The stone that the builders rejected, listen to this. It's all metaphorical, you know. It's not really talking about real stones. It's metaphorical. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Has become the chief one. And he says in verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous. So the same word used in Psalm 118, where the stone the builders rejected, the word rejected, is used in the book of Proverbs. Same word, Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or despise and loathe his reproof. Do not reject. I don't want this. I don't want your discipline. I don't want your correction. I don't want your direction. You refuse it. And if you know, when Israel was ruled under God and under Samuel, who was the judge of Israel, and he was running around, you know, the judges, and they finally decided, Samuel, we're tired. You're getting old. You can't do everything. We want a king. All the other nations have a king. They're doing well. We want a king. So they demanded the king. Well, Samuel was very upset. And this is what God said to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7. The Eternal said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected, refused me from being the king over them. They haven't rejected you, Sam. It's not personal to you. They've rejected me, God says. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 19, he says the same thing. But you have today, this is now Samuel talking to the people of Israel, you have today rejected your God. 1 Samuel 10, verse 19, who delivers you from all your calamities and your distresses. Yet you have said, no, but let's set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Eternal, your God, tribe by tribe and by your clans. So they were rejected. God was refused. We refused. The stone that was refused and rejected became what? The chief cornerstone. Jesus liked that psalm. He liked that quote. Because he knew he was rejected. A man who was rejected of men. A man of sorrows. And I want to tell you, if you've been rejected, you know that there's a sorrow in that. If you've been cast out, you know there's been a sorrow in it. So in Psalm, in the book of Matthew, rather, quoting Psalm, if you remember the book of Matthew, Jesus tells about this parable of the vineyard. This owner, the master of the vineyard, has this vineyard. He wants to send to the workers. He wants to collect things from the vineyard. So he sends a servant over there, but the workers there, what do? They kill the servant. They don't want to give anything back to the master. He sends another servant. They kill him. He sends another servant. They kill him. Finally, the lord of that thing says, I'm going to send my own son there, and because we own that vineyard. So he goes there, and what do to the son? They kill the son. And Jesus said, he's talking to these Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and so on. He says, What should they do? Now, here it is. I'm going to pick it up in verse 40. This is Matthew 21 and verse 40. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers, those workers in the field, the workers of the vineyard? And the people listening to the parable, they said to him, well, he'll bring those wretches to a wretched end. And he will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. That's what he'll do. He'll just bring those people to a wretched end. And then Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He quotes now Psalm 118, verses 22, 23. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. You grab this stone, you'll be broken to pieces. But on whomsoever it falls, it will scatter him like in the dust, like dust. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood he was speaking about them. Now, finally, it dawned on them. Oh, boy. He's speaking about us, taking the kingdom from us, that we're the ones that rejected the Lord that sent the servant after servant and sent his son. And so, verse 46, when they sought to seize him, which they went after him, they feared the people. Let's get him. But because the people considered him a prophet, so they didn't want to do that. The same story is over in Luke chapter 20. And again, they quote, the stone which was the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Jesus knew rejection. He understood it. He lived with it all his life. From the very beginning to the very end of his life. Even when he comes, there will be people, you read in the book of Revelation, that will fight him, that will say, no, we don't want him. They will want again to reject you, and he will overcome them with the power of God itself, himself. Now, when you and I deal with rejection, there's a psychological theory about this. How we deal with how we deal with rejection will determine to a great degree our character. To a great degree, whether or not we become hypocrites. To a great degree, our psychological and emotional health. How you deal with it. Everybody has to deal with it sooner or later. Nobody is completely accepted all the time in every case. Most of our rejections happen in childhood. Most of our rejections happen when we were kids, little kids growing up. Somebody didn't like us, and they got other people to scorn us or push us away or not. No, you can't be on our team. No, you can't be in our club. No, you can't be in our group. No, you can't be. You're not a part of us. You're rejected. We all have a desire to belong. Well, most people, severely so. Severely desire to belong, to be accepted, to be loved, to be wanted. How we deal with that is an important factor of character. And we'll take that up in my next sermon.